So welcome back, everybody. This is still Michelle. This is still Influence as Story. This is our third segment of three in our Influence as Story retreat. And you guys have just been freaking knocking it out of the park. Fantastic, fantastic work. I wanted to start with, you can't hear me. That's why you guys can come back. Or I can't, I won't be able to hear you. I didn't have this in. Can you hear me better now? Is that better? Yes. Okay. So welcome back. If you guys couldn't hear my voice before, I forgot to have my earbuds in. So come on back. Come on back. We're here. Part three of three for Influence the Story today. And just a reminder of where we're headed. I moved some of the things from part two to part three. So we have a lot of pieces that we're going to dive into this afternoon. We're going to take some ahas. So what's opening for you now? How to create influence, recognizing influence as a learnable skill. We've already seen some of the pieces, like if we know what it is, then we can start doing it, right? But we're going to do some more explicit pieces about that. Becoming conscious of it in your life. You already know how to be influential. Where is it that you've done that? Transferring that excellence. Influence as story, that is threaded throughout the whole day, but we're going to hit that in a couple of more specific ways. How do we change our stories for influence? Finding our big why for our companies, we've already been doing that work. Company values, we're not going to do a deep dive into that, but I just want to remind you, it's like, well, what do you stand for? And having company values is putting our stake in the ground about what matters in the world. It's connected with our vision. So some action steps, some Q&A. So we have lots of things that we're going to dive into in this last segment of Influence as Story. And where I want to, I left you with an assignment to post on Facebook so that also you will be both sharing it, what we share publicly, we stand by, right? So this is a mini public version. This is in-house and safe, but also public, like it's that in-between space. So posting on Facebook, your vision, where you want to increase your influence and why you want that, you know, and coming up with a couple of the questions that you want to ask this afternoon. And hopefully you've been taking care of yourself through this break. So you're ready and present for this last 90 minutes together to land this plane, or maybe I should say take off this plane of influence, because really the retreat starts as we end our day and go out there in the world with everything that we've learned, everything that we know about ourselves as influencers, so we can be who we're meant to be in the world. And as Yvonne landed in, this is our birthright. It's not only okay to be an influencer, but this is my birthright. This is what I'm meant to be doing on this planet. So let's begin with one or two ahas from all the places that we've been to about what influence is, the characteristics of influencers, why it matters, the different places we can find sources of references so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel, how we actually enacted it in our own lives and what our vision is. We've done so much. Let's hear one or two ahas, because I'd like to hear where your mind, heart, spirit is. Where did you land over the lunch hour? What is it that you'd like to share about where we've been today? So one or two ahas, who'd like to share first? What's opening for you now? Mary Kay, thank you, awesome.
I have a little bit of a bigger vision. I don't know if it'll stick or not, but
yes, yay, I can hear both the tentativeness in your voice, and sometimes that's like the, because of the bigness of the vision, sometimes the bigness of our vision can actually scare us, you know, but I hear that it's quietly, softly landing in you. I think that's more like it, and that's fantastic. That's really, really powerful, Mary Kay, and especially following up on our conversation that we had just a few days ago. That's brilliant and beautiful. Thank you. Anything else you want to say about that?
It's just, it was kind of expanding as I'm sitting here, but.
Owning it. It's my birthright. That big vision is what I'm meant to be doing on the planet.
I think I would like to raise this. I have an issue with the birthright thing. Mm-hmm. because it doesn't fit with me about having a right to something.
Yeah, and you know what? Always, anything that we're doing here, keep asking yourself, not does this apply, but how does this apply? So for you, Mary Kay, and thank you, there may be others with different words, maybe that word or something else where you go, I don't know if that applies to me. So then finding the root where it does apply. If birthright isn't your word, you can choose a different word. That's fine.
I don't need a word.
And you might not even need a word. That's fine. And so for some, it might be really, really empowering. Like for Yvonne, it's like, oh, that's my birthright and it lands for her. And for you, it might be, that's just how I want to be on the planet, you know, finding the way that it lands for you. So thank you for that, Mary Kay, because that will benefit everybody. It reminds me of some work we did with Stride Sessions a few years ago. There was a member of our community who said, oh, all this stuff about Stride Sessions. She listened for months about Stride Sessions and been like, yeah, I'm just waiting for the other stuff. That doesn't really apply to me. I'm just waiting for the other stuff. And then she went, oh, a strategy session is a doctor's visit? Because she did those all the time in her company. And then all of a sudden it was this like a domino effect, like, oh, that applies and that applies and that applies and that applies and that applies, right? She went over everything that she was doing and had to rethink everything. It's like, oh, I didn't think it applied to me. So thank you for not letting that word birthright stand in the way. Mary Kay, thank you for underlining it in case anybody else has a word that's getting in their way and or that may not just be their own, and adjusting it for you so that you can step into what you want to do on the planet, if it's not birthright, if it isn't your word, or what feels fun, or whatever it is that works for you. Thank you. Beautiful. All right, let's hear one or two other ahas. What has landed in you? Yes, thank you, Marnie.
So one of the things that struck me was I find it easy if I just share, like if you say, what's your vision and what are you thinking? And I just speak, then it comes out. But when I think about it, then I want to play small. And so that's interesting. But what really struck me was when I was talking and you said, can you hear how deeply rooted that is? So the note I made to myself is deeply rooted experience to belief in the power of transformation. And I kind of went like, oh, okay, I keep looking for something that makes sense out there, but it doesn't need to. It's about what really is my lived experience and my belief and my superpower, I guess, that I can share with other people that we can change.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes we spend so much time finding the exact markety speaky kinds of words that we think it's something outside ourselves. It already that disempowers us because we think it's somebody else other than us. And we forget. And in connecting this with practical applications, this real conversations with real live people about stuff that matters, like how much we have to remove the clouds to get back to what is normal and natural to us. Here's something that I've experienced, something that I know something about, and I can help another human being on the planet. And having that influence with one person, allowing them to step into something bigger for themselves through the work that we do, and then letting that grow, using that same knowledge of how we did that to let it expand. I mean, that is hugely powerful. And what you said as well, Marnie, about, oh, it's easy if I just speak it and it just comes out. This is brilliant and beautiful because sometimes we try to do it in our own little isolated world. This is why, again, in Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill talks about the power of the mastermind. That's why it's so powerful that you're here. Every single soul that you connect with here is an amazing soul with more power for your life and your company and your world than you may have imagined, including the person sitting in your seat. You know, like sometimes like, oh, those people, but not me, you know, right? So, the power of the mastermind and the power of sharing it. And I was just speaking with my team about another aspect of influence and building a company. Just yesterday, it was about building structures because there are some structures that we create as business owners, as visionaries. For instance, I mean, there are simple structures like, in order to go speak, I'm going to get out of bed, I'm going to get over to my computer. I'm going to log in. we have structures all around us, right? So if I don't do those things, it doesn't happen, right? And I realized the very same thing that you realized. If I don't, I know a lot about structures, but I can't do it myself. When I speak to another human being, they just pour out of me. So not underestimating the power of community to understand what our vision is, to know it, to have it in ourselves, and then to communicate it to the world. Thank you, Marnie. Beautiful, beautiful. Let's hear one more aha. What else is moving in you from this morning? Great, great work, you guys. Yvonne.
When I thought about it more, I actually came to the realization that I'm my own biggest influence.
I am my own biggest influence?
Mm-hmm.
That I influence myself toward things that I want to do and that I have that power inside me? Yvonne, it is so like beautifully simple when you say it and so easy to miss if we don't say it. I have the power. It's right here inside me. I can make choices. That's right at the heart of Anatomy of an Empowering Story too, right? We live in a world of stories. They're empowering, disempowering stories, and you can choose. That means that you get to be in the driver's seat. You get to influence and construct and create your life. Thank you. I love that. All right. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? Okay, thank you very much. Fantastic work, everyone. So from here, I want to move into, well, how to create influence. Well, we've understood that it matters. We know something about more than just a little something about what it is. We understand the characteristic of influencers, and we've come to that realization that it's not something out there. It's right here in me. Even with Yvonne's last statement, I'm my own influencer. Like, I have that power. So, also Mary Kay, like I can have a bigger vision than I realized. With Marnie, it's like when I'm in community with others, when I'm in connection, it comes faster and easier than I thought. So we've built so much around it already. We've already been, as we're talking about the why and the what, we've already been constructing a lot of the how. Can you hear that? I don't isolate myself. I get myself in community. I speak it before I think I'm ready, and it's right there. I already know more about my vision than I think. If you put the small vision and the big vision in front of me, I know which one it is, right? I get in action because the action creates the courage, a whole bunch of things about the how. We already know. If that makes sense, raise your hand. You might not have thought about it, but now that I say it, if you go back and just listen for the how, you could go and listen to both segments from this morning with new ears and just listen for the how, and you'll hear it all over the place. All right. So that would be a great exercise to do. And I'm like, well, that's another how. That's another how. If influencers do the inner work, where am I doing the inner work right now? Have I built it into my year? What am I doing? If they have integrity, where have I been out of integrity? Let me do an inventory. You know, like there's tons of how already built into every single piece we've just done. That alone is worth the whole day when you can hear that. Fantastic. And I see you nodding like crazy. All right. So we already know that we, a bunch of pieces of the how. And one of the most important things that I want to emphasize is something that we've touched on, but I want to emphasize here, that when we recognize it is a learnable skill, it's not something that those special people out there have that I don't have, and I'm going to strive to be like them. That is not me. Can you hear that? It's really hard to get there from there. It's not something out there. It's a learnable skill. And there are facets of it that are knowable. We did a whole bunch of them this morning. And I can cultivate those things in myself. If we know that influencers are risk takers, but I have not left my home I didn't leave my home for COVID 40 days at the beginning of COVID-19. I'm not saying that if you've done that, it's something bad or wrong. But like there are times when we don't leave our homes. I'm not dissing anything here, right? But you will know when you do that inner searching. Is there something in me hiding? Is there something in me not going out to meet people? Is there something in me that is afraid? Is there something in me? If I know that influencers are risk takers, well, what is it that I want to do to encourage that? If I know that they have courage, but the courage comes from the action, where am I taking action? And so on. So lots of pieces about the how. I want to add, seven more pieces. They will not be rocket science. You will get these. There'll be a little couple pieces that we'll add, but just to give you a bit of a structure so that we can step forward into the how. And some of these things are going to sound very familiar. You'll just go, oh, right, that fits in here, right? To the how, to being an influencer built on everything that we've done already. Of course. So let me see. Do I want to tell you the titles first? Let me do them one at a time. You'll hear them easily. Well, do you remember that practical applications begins with why did Dana get up off her chair? Do you get now that you have a larger context for this? I kind of hint at it, but there's not enough time in practical applications to go into that. That's influence. So that acronym REAL that's at the start of practical applications, man, first thing, do that, all right? Relationship, empathy, add word skill, love the genre. Doesn't that make sense? We already have gone a deep dive in practical application into all of those. Every single one of them is important. And we've talked about connectedness, for instance, connections. It's about connections. It's about listening to that other person and so on. A lot of the skills we build, it's more tactical at practical applications, but a lot of those skills will dovetail right here. So for instance, at practical applications, when I say one of our members, nobody was listening to her when she went out networking, nobody was interested at all, but she started doing those pieces that we learned at practical applications. And then three people were quickly asking her for their card when they sat down beside her. That's influence. So go implement everything there. That will help us. And I want to start with that acronym REAL. I want to emphasize one aspect of it because we have that in our background. I want to, so just as some straight out training, seven things that will help us become greater influencers. And number one is the acronym REAL. And I want to pull out one piece around word skill. All right. So we know that word skill is add word skill. That's the A in REAL. We've touched on that before, but I want to underline it. One aspect of word skill that is highly crucial in the field of influence. One super important example of that word skill. Word skill that produces belief change. How do I find words? And was it Marnie who pointed in that direction earlier? Yeah, so I said we return to that. Word skill that produces belief change. Now that's, again, it's a learnable skill. Word skill is a learnable skill and is one aspect of one part of that acronym REAL, all right? Following me? And I wanted to give you an example to make this kind of tangible. You know that I love the work of Sandra Yancey, the founder of eWomen and CEO of eWomen Network. Sandra Yancey is highly influential. She's been named as a hero by CNN, right? For her work in helping victims of Hurricane Katrina years ago. She has a network of 500,000 people. She's donated, you know, hundreds of thousands, probably millions of dollars to charitable causes. She's had a huge impact in the world and she is hugely heart-centered. If you lined up all those things that we said about influence, to me, she embodies those things. She's a mentor of mine. As I say, I've learned a lot from her. And she's the only person that I've invited to my Empowering Stories for Entrepreneurs all three times that we've held it. There is a reason for that. I think the world of her. And I want to give you an example of one thing, like of how she has so mastered word skill in order to produce a belief change. And it's just something that is hot off the press for me because I was on her Millionaire series this week, where she just interviews somebody influential every day and gives us a few tips about how they think and how they live, right? So of course, I'm interested in that, right? And so she has so the 5 days she interviews people, the last 2 days, she makes an offer. This is a very typical structure. I do a strategy session, at the end, if it's right, I make an offer. If I'm doing a talk at the end, so you know, same structure, I begin with the end in mind. So we're familiar with that from practical applications. We were just talking about speaking, for instance. But here's the thing I want to underline for you. What Sandra was doing as she was interviewing people, I was listening very closely this time, was so interesting. She was inviting people to her 3-day event. And what she was doing all along, she wasn't selling anything, but she produces immediate sales and influence in the form of sales at the end, because what she was doing all along was belief change. Every time she was interviewing somebody, she was knocking down, in the training that she was doing, she was knocking down another belief that people held, a belief that would stop them from coming to a virtual 3-day event. Her event's called Reignite. You don't even need to know about the content of her 3-day event, but it was genius and beautiful. And I want to share with you what I heard from her training. She's like, and again, I encourage you to go and see her stuff. I really believe in her and the work that she does. So on Wednesday, for instance, and it seemed completely random, it just came up as a, by the way, she was talking about Zoom fatigue. Yvonne, you were on the series. Remember, do you remember that? Were you there? She's like, everybody's talking about Zoom fatigue these days. She says, like, I don't buy it. I don't believe it. That's just silly. Aren't we lucky that we have Zoom? We get to connect with each other. She said, I was on a training call from 7 until 9 last night because I'm always a student. I'm always learning. I was there with my mentor, she says, right? And I always want to be around people who are 10 times more successful than me. I want to learn from them. And I like, what better thing to be doing with my time? I loved that evening on Zoom, connecting, learning, up-leveling myself. It makes me better for myself. I find the best version of myself, better for my family. It came in as a by the way, but Sandra is highly strategic with her words. Why would she want to be telling people about Zoom fatigue 1 day and 2 days before she's offering a 3-day virtual event? Thank you, Dottie. I see you nodding. Marnie, you got it. She is removing obstacles for them to step forward out of deep service to them. Well, I would, and that sounds great, and it's going to change my life. Oh, but I can't sit on Zoom for 3 days. I'm out of there. Early on, before they had that objection, this happens in strategy sessions too, right? So great word skill and words used to find, like, what is their belief that's in the way, and to knock that down and to just allow an out of deep service, right? Let me give you one more example. There was Zoom fatigue then day 5 when she was making her offer. You wouldn't think she was selling anything. Didn't sound like she was selling anything. She's just helping people all the way along, and people leaped to buy. Why does this happen? And again, that's one version of influence. That last day, all she was talking about was self-care. Self-care is so important. You've heard me talk about it. I think it's super important. And she said, one of the best things I can do as self-care, she said, I just spent 3 days with my high level mastermind. And I want to be around people that are 10 times more successful than me. I learn with them. I connect with them. I just spent 3 days with them. And it is the best self-care I could do for myself. It's the best thing that I could do for my family to really up-level myself, to know what's possible for me. It's like, there's no better care that I could take care of myself. And then she makes her offer. What has she just done? Do you hear it? I want to be around people who are 10 times more successful. I find mentors. My best self-care is 3 days diving in with other people that I can connect with and build with and the power of the mastermind, etc. Somebody goes, I would love this, Sandra, but I'm tired of Zoom and I've got to tend to my family. I can't come to this, otherwise I would. Can you see what she's done to eliminate their disempowering stories, eliminate those old beliefs so that they can take the action that's really going to serve them? So I told you I wanted to give you some tactical pieces around influence. And this is all under how to create influence, knowing that it's a learnable skill. If you just learned something from something that I said about how Sandra used her words to change beliefs, raise your hand. Did you get that? It's a learnable skill. Y'all just learned it, right? So remember, number one, the acronym REAL. And I just chose the A underneath that. Underneath all of these, there's so much more that I have to teach you. Ask questions, like so much more that I have to share, right? But just under add word skill, and there's one example of something very powerful. What are their beliefs in the way? Use our words and our stories before they bump into them earlier on. to clear the path for their best. And again, this isn't about manipulation. This isn't about, you know, Hitler type stuff. This is about real people making a real difference where people may be blocking themselves and helping them take a step that could really serve them. All right. Let me see. All right. I want to give you another example, but you got that. I know you got that. I want to move on. The second piece. Do you remember that it's the acronym REAL is love the genre is the L in REAL. Number two of being an influencer, I want to, just like I've expanded out that AdWords skill, I'm going to expand out love the genre. Number two is recognizing the structures that we live in. Right? So this is a higher level. This is the 2.0 teaching. When I can see the structures that I live in, it's both that particular genre. I'm doing a 3-minute video, has different rules than networking, has different rules than if I'm preaching from the pulpit, if it's different rules than if I'm giving a talk, right? A 30-minute talk. So can I understand the genre that I'm in? But I want to expand that out for us. Can I understand the structure that I'm living in? And those include word structures, institutions. And again, part of my PhD work was about this. I don't want us to go down a rabbit hole about it. I just want us to be aware of it here because it makes a difference. Marnie talked about it earlier on. She said, given what's going on in the world these days and what some people call influencers and the context that she was referring to, some of us are going, I think some of the things that she's talking about, I think I know, right? Or maybe not, maybe we're thinking about different things, but what is that context in the world, right? So let me give you one stark example and you'll get this right away. Let's say it's June 1st, 2020. And I use what seems like powerful words and I say all lives matter. Don't context matter? Don't structures matter? On June 1st, the sentence all lives matter didn't mean all lives matter. Not at all. All lives matter was something being thrown in the face of Black Lives Matter saying, but me too, that I matter too. And it didn't really mean, for me anyway, as I see it, it didn't actually mean all lives matter. It was something to throw in the face of Black Lives Matter to say that something is wrong with that and there was a pushing against, whatever you make of that. What structures are we living in? What are people actually talking about out there? What institutions are there? And that makes a difference for how our words will be understood and what it is we say. So if I can just be even a little bit aware of that. When I go to, let me give you a tangible example as well. So influence. When I went to speak in LA, no, it was in Las Vegas. It was a while ago, it was a couple of years ago. And it was the 1-year anniversary of a horrendous tragedy. Just so happened that I was going to be speaking on the 1-year anniversary of a horrendous tragedy that happened in Las Vegas. Well, I needed to know about that. That really mattered because everybody in Las Vegas, not where I was, but everybody in Las Vegas was immersed in that. And if I don't have some speaking about that, if I have to decide what I'm going to do with it. Maybe I'm going to speak about it. Maybe I'm not, but I need to be aware of that. If I'm not aware of it, I'm going to lose credibility. I spoke about a speaker that Yvonne and I are in her Facebook challenge right now. She's doing wonderful stuff, but there was one, I think, mistake that she made at the beginning. It's still wonderful work, but one of the mistakes she made is in her setup about why things matter, all her pictures were about taking her kids traveling and how that matters. It was a little bit off, and Sandra Yancey teaches about this too. It's like, if you don't at least acknowledge that the world has changed in the last little while, people are going to make you feel like you're out of touch. So I think she lost a bit of credibility at that moment because people are going, well, I can't travel anywhere right now. Well, I haven't traveled with my kids. Well, when is traveling going to open and their minds are going to be distracted? So number one, I added a bit about the AdWords skill. Number two, not the structures we're in practical applications, I tell you about the genre. But there's more to the structures that we're in, and there's structures of language, like all lives matter. What does it even mean in this context, for instance? there's institutions, can I be aware of what's going on around me? Because my words are gonna, and my influence have a context. And I don't know if I can engage in things that people care about at the moment. Let's say I am right now talking about why Princess Diana really matters in the way she lived her life. Right now, nobody's gonna care. She died in 1997. If I said that in the summer of 1997, it would be relevant, right? Again, I was just thinking about her because I was reading about Mother Teresa last night, and I thought of how they died at the same, almost the same time. People were ignoring when Mother Teresa died because Princess Diana died, and, you know, like, brought that all back to me. What are the structures that we're in? What matters to people now? Can we engage in that? All right. The rest of these seven, you'll hear quickly. So those were the most kind of intricate details I want to give you. I know this is a lot of straight out training, but I just wanted to give you some on the ground tactics, some more how to's to add to what we've already done. Number three, we've already talked about, who are we being? That whole piece about personal development, about it's got to come from, you know, heart-centered first and so on. Who are we being? But I want to give you a tangible example of this. And let me see. This is straight out training. You're still able to track on this? Are you guys still here? You still here with me? Yeah? Okay. Okay, good. Because this one is, this is important training, but I want to make sure that you're still tracking. Like, I don't do that much of just like straight out training because, you know, we fall asleep, right? But I want to give you this stuff, right? And there's some other piece I want to get to. All right. I'm just waiting for a moment to find the words to say it. And it was a beautiful high-level conversation that I had on Saturday with one of my own accountability partners. And again, a lot of my stories are coming from Sandra right now, because when I think about influence, I often think about her, right? So that's why I'm talking about her a lot. And also I just went to her series right now. And I think about, like, what is it that's, it's been something that I've been investigating for a few years. This is why I stay with Sandra. I want to understand her influence. And sometimes she, I know she doesn't understand herself. Why now she's influential, but I'm a researcher. I'm watching it and I want to translate for you. Does that make sense? She doesn't even know why it's happening. Yvonne, you know that's true, right? She doesn't even know. She doesn't almost know. Yeah. Okay. So who we're being. I'm going to give you another example from Sandra Yancey from this Millionaire series, because I was just in it this week. And if you've heard about seeding, when you're giving a talk that you should seed, it makes sense. If you've heard that word before, raise your hand. Seeding? Do you know? Yeah. Have you heard about that? Many of you have. Okay. So seeding means creating hunger and desire, right? Creating hunger and desire in our audience for that thing. All right. And seeding can be like kind of, it's sort of like dropping hints, but in ways that create hunger and desire. So I might say something like, if I'm answering something in public and I say to somebody, listen, you know, we go much further into that in class one of practical applications where I do a whole series on networking. But let me just answer this one piece, because you said you met somebody and they weren't listening to you at all. Let me just answer this one piece that comes out of, well, what I've just done is an example of seeding. I've dropped some hints about what I do. I point them to the there's something larger, and I've created hunger and desire for it. Wow, there's this one little piece of it. I'm still giving, but I'm telling them, hey, there's more. If you understood that, so now you understand seeding, raise your hand. Got that? Okay, great. So, and again, all this about influence, these are some of the words and stories that create influence, and it's a learnable skill. So who we're being. Sometimes the tactical skills, I just taught you the tactical skill of seeding. If that makes sense, raise your hand. Like, that's how seeding works tactically. Now I want to teach it from a different angle, from number three of the how of influence, which is about who we're being. I was talking to my accountability partner. This is hot off the press for me, so I'll try to find the words. I will find the words to say it so you can hear this, right? Sandra is a master of seeding. If you listen to her, she is always pointing you to something more because she's an influencer and she cares and it matters, right? Now, she knows how to seed in that tactical way that I just taught you. But what I was observing in her through this week was really beautiful. Because yes, she was doing that tactical thing. You could watch her. Her event is called Reignite. And you could hear her seed even just that word ignite. We've got to ignite new possibilities for 2021. That word echoed throughout the week. So by the time it's like, why don't you come to this event where we'll do reignite? Everybody was already ready for that. She was seeding. If that makes sense to you, are you with me? The next point won't make sense if you haven't heard that. Raise your hand. Y'all got that. Okay. There's the tactical thing she did. But the thing that I noticed was this. It was coming directly from who she's being. It was coming directly from her being an influencer. It was coming because she couldn't help herself, because she knows at that 3-day event, she's going to give all. She's giving it practically for free, and she's going to, like, she wants people to be there so she can help them. So she wasn't trying to mechanically seed. It just bubbled up out of her. And that's what happens with us as influencers, because if we've got that, can you imagine Martin Luther King going like, okay, well, I have to remember to raise the issue of the, you know, of something about, you know, Black people in this world in the US, because like, he's not thinking like that, right? It's who he's a being. It's going to come up because it matters like breath itself. If you got that, raise your hand. Did you hear that? That's being, right? So the how-to about influence, first, knowing it's a recognized, it's a learnable skill. Number one, one piece from word skill from that acronym REAL. It's what we just did. Number two, recognize the structures we're in, the words that we're in, the institutions, what's going on, that's going to make a difference. Three, who we're being. Number four, oh yeah, stories at the center. I could say this all throughout, but I want to make sure that it was on the page, right? Because can you hear stories at the center of all this? What story am I helping people to tell when I help them change their beliefs, right? With my word skill. What stories are out there about all lives matter? And I'm entering into the conversation and shifting that. Who I'm being, that's because Sandra is embodying that story for herself of this really matters. And so she's just going to seed naturally. All this is about story, but I want to just say it very explicitly that story is always at the center of influence. More we understand about story, the more we're in the driver's seat of our own stories, of our own lives, it creates influence. But I wanted to give you one more example of how story and influence are connected. Because again, I wanted to give you some tactical on the ground stuff, both the high level vision stuff and tactical on the ground stuff. Is this helping? If it's helping, raise your hand. I just wanted, like, because we could stop this piece of it, but okay, I'm seeing lots of hands raised. Thank you. Okay. I wanted to give you different kinds of pieces in and around influence, highly tactical and 8,000 foot vision. All right. So if story is always at the center of influence, I'm going to give you another Sandra example. She's on my mind a lot, right? One of the questions I've asked myself for many years is, if Sandra has 500,000 people on her list, how do people all feel personally connected to her? That's like magic. I've been studying her for years. How does that happen? I asked her a question related to that because I'm studying with her again, and as I have done for many years. And she gave a beautiful, beautiful example. And this is another example of influencer skill that we can emulate. I'm going to give you the higher up version of the teaching, and then I'm going to remind you of the base level teaching, all right? Because I want to teach at both levels for you here. One of the things she does is she thinks about different aspects of her audience. If you could think about it here, there's the Mary Kay version of the audience. There's the Dottie version of the audience. Everybody has things in common. There's heart-centeredness across everybody here. We have the Marnie-ness of our audience, the Wendy-ness of our audience, right? There's heart-centeredness. There is not, you know, desire for manipulation. There's service. Like, so you could say what we have in common. But then among her audience, she also thinks about how are they different? And remember, we talked about that it's not about pushing people away, and it's also about finding commonality and valuing everybody, like Dottie said about her neighbor, right? So she, when she speaks, she calls specifically, or when she is soliciting questions from people, she's asking for questions from different segments of her audience. So for instance, let's say I say in this group, let me give you an example. When you have small children, doesn't it already teach you a lot about influence? Because with small children, you know, how do you get them to listen to you? How do you get them to go to bed? If you've done that, you know a lot about influence. I'm talking to everybody here, but right now I'm also, even though I can't see, you're very particularly talking to Wendy. Can you feel it? Wendy's got a small kid right now. Some part of her hopefully will go, right, everybody here may well do. So it doesn't exclude other people, but Wendy will be going, right. What if I say, you know, we really devalue experience in our culture. You know, by the time people are a certain age, we lock them away. We've so been, in Canada, we've been so uncaring about in seniors' homes, that there's like rampant, you know, COVID-19 going on. And my mom could have told you, because she worked in extended care for years, that those conditions were appalling years ago. Why is it just now we're even paying attention to this? And besides, at that part of our lives, we're not meant to be put away. That's when our fire should be lit. That's when, according to BKS Iyengar, it's after age 75. But that's when we really enter into that. Do you see Dottie just went like this? So I'm speaking to everybody here, but who am I? Like, Dottie is like my number one person that I'm speaking to here. Thank you, Dottie, for acknowledging that. You can see it right in her thumbs up. So we can, one example of how we engage, how story and influence are connected. I pulled out Wendy in particular. Then I pulled out Dottie in particular, for example, right? Dottie even recognized herself in that. And it doesn't mean that others can't listen in. So Sandra speaks to different aspects of her audience, and that's how we can reach people. So she thinks about, are they young? Are they old? Have they been with her for a long time? Have they studied deeply with her? Are they new to the community? And reaches out specifically to them as she speaks. That's a high level influence skill. That's the 2.0 version. Then I want to return you to the 1.0 version, because we could make a mistake with this. So I want to say, your ideal client. Find your ideal client first. Who's that person? Know them like you, like J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter, because we could think then we're trying to talk to everybody. So we could make that mistake. But I want to remind you that you are all in my ideal client zone. I love and adore you all, right? So there are very specific characteristics that my ideal client has. But then among that, they're still real people, right? And we can call to them, and that's a high level influencer skill. If you heard that, because I was hesitant to teach that, it's something that's hot off the press for me. But if you heard that, raise your hand. Just that simple thing that I did. And it's like, wow, that's me. That person sees themselves. They feel seen and heard, right? And it's a skill that develops. It's not something magic that's apart from us. It's a skill that develops. So just reminding you where we are with the how. Number one, word skill from that acronym REAL. Gave you some examples. Number two, knowing the structures we're in, not just the genre, I'm opening it out from practical applications, also what the context that we're in at other levels. Number three, who we're being, like Sandra can't help but seed, right? Number four, story is everywhere, of course. And here Sandra is connecting with that particular person's story. Wendy with her small kids. Dottie going, yeah, life starts at 75, right? And it ought to be that way, and with real evidence. And I'm not making any of this up. I really truly believe those things too. It's not just pulled out of the air, right? Number five, what do you like? How to be an influencer? What's the how? Actions. This can't be head knowledge. We go out there on the court, learn, do. Remember we talked about that with Harv Eker? Here we're learning. If this stays as head knowledge, who cares? What do we actually do on the court? And we can fool ourselves thinking we're on the court, right? If this is my birthright, or for Mary Kay, if this is what I do, or whatever, however we name that, right? Well, what am I actually going to do today? When we end today, you can take actions every day that increase your influence, because you're on a mission, because you have a vision, because you have a way that transforms the world. And why wouldn't you? And if you're not inspired to do that, then it's like either go big or go home, you know, like either have that inside you, that burning zeal for the thing you do, find it or change what you do. Right. So, and then we'll take those actions because we care, because we would never not. You know, again, I think of somebody like Martin Luther King. It's like, oh yes, I know that this group, you know, these 2,000 people have gathered to hear about this, but I'm kind of tired. I won't go today. It's not going to happen, right? Number six, risk. Marnie mentioned this earlier in block one. Risk. So influencers are risk takers. Entrepreneurs are risk takers. But it's not risk for risk's sake. Like, it's not influence for influence sake. I do it. I'm deathly afraid of public speaking sake, but I'm going to do it because it matters. I don't want to book a strategy session because what if they reject me? But I did it because that person's life could change. I don't know anything about social media, but so I'm going to go learn about it. I'm afraid of video. I'm going to go learn about it. I'm not sure what my vision is. Well, I'm going to figure it out. I will step out and take a risk because it matters. That's number six. Number seven, study influencers. We talked about this in block number two, those resources at hand, right? I don't need to reinvent the wheel. And that's, you're watching, I'm having you watch me watch Sandra, right? Because I have, you know, I'm a researcher with eyes to see some of the things that she may not even be conscious that she's doing, right? I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I can look at what we understand of influence and then see what does Teresa de Crozois say about it, for instance, right? What does John C. Maxwell say about it? And it's like, right, I didn't think about that. I could be a hub for influencers. That one idea that I dropped in the last block from Teresa de Crozois' book. Oh, wait. So my area of influence, it's like, how could Mary Kay with horses, like what? How do I want to have people gather around me who are also in the horse profession? I have them gathering and I give them a spot to gather. What would that do for my level of influence and whose lives I can touch? For instance, that one idea could massively increase your influence this year. All right. So that's a lot of straight out training. I want you to jot down your two favorite hows, your two favorite things that you've heard in this whole training block about the how to get you on the court as an influencer. It could be like, wow, I'm going to think about I'm going to not just think about, but I'm going to write down what the beliefs are that my people hold. And I'm going to work that into my next talk. And I'm going to book a talk tomorrow, you know, like it's tactical on the ground. That's one of many things that could come out of what I just taught. So take your two biggest ahas. I'll give you a minute for that right now. Okay, let's hear from at least one of you. I want to hear something that you heard. I want to know what you're tracking on, what feels important to you. Let's hear one or two of you, just a sentence. Or two.
One of the things was the relationship between knowing your audience, what's important to them, and the word skills. So, you know, in neuroscience, you talk about priming and, you know, that you would talk about the ways in which you let people know they're there, that they're being heard, but also setting them up that once you've opened that space for them, they're more likely to hear the message you're giving in the first place.
Thank you for that. Thank you. So in that, if we return to that moment, for instance, where Dottie went, yes, you know, right? And thumbs up. Because now I'm talking not to mothers with small kids. I'm talking to like, what are we going to do with that part of our life? Now let's say I have a message to follow that. And again, it's about influence for the good of all. It's like, okay, well, if that's the case, then after my 75th birthday, what is it that I'm doing on the court to get that message out there. So I might be spurring on to that inspired action, which will be better heard once I've said that, or to include the rest of the audience. So like, so what, so I'm always addressing that segment of the audience and others, right? So then I might address those who are in that age group or close to it at that point. And then I might say, and I might think that I'm out of that at 20, but if I'm gonna be that person at 75 and beyond, who am I being now? So that's who the influencer I will be at that stage. So then I've brought all of them back in again, right? So that message and that call to action, we talked about the call to action earlier, can be heard. Marnie, thank you. Tells me you're tracking, taking this in for yourself. Brilliant, beautiful. Yes, let's hear one more. Yeah, Mary Kay.
Well, when you said give horse people a spot to gather, because horse people love to gather. So I transferred it. I just take a risk and give horse people my spot to gather in.
And thank you, Mary Kay. And you can see how Mary Kay is combining different pieces that we've learned in different parts of the day. Ooh, that could be scary. Oh, I don't think I'll do it. Oh, but it really matters. Oh, influencers take risks. What would it be to gather all those people? That's a bigger vision than I held before. That's really cool. What if I did that? Thank you. Yes, you guys are really hearing this. Thank you. Not only just hearing it, passively hearing it, but taking it on and creating from it. Fantastic. Let's hear one. These are really juicy. Let's hear one more. Dottie, thank you. And then Yvonne.
It's been a great day, Michelle, really.
Thank you, Dottie.
I learned a lot of great things today. One is that I have four things written down. One is talk about what's current. I never thought of that. That's great. Don't ignore that. Number two,
I'm talking about Princess Diana right now. Nobody's going to care. Yes. And thank you.
And number two is the risk is not for me, but for my women that I teach or for my group that I speak to.
When I focus on them, I'll do what's necessary because it matters. Thank you. Next.
To them. And then number three was speaking to each group, Wendy, me, etc. And the fourth is the others. No, I guess it was just those three. That was just
is that all? Dottie, beautiful. Thank you. You heard. Yes. Thank you. Brilliant. Beautiful.
So important. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all in this together. You guys are doing a fantastic job. What comes out of this day is what you guys put into it. And it's been beautiful. I loved everything you're bringing to the table. Yvonne. So thank you, Dottie. Yvonne.
Well, two things that stood out for me. It's actually the first, they're actually both questions in the sense that, who am I being as an influencer? I really, when you were talking about point number three about who are you being, and then I'm like, okay, so who am I being as an influencer? More out of curiosity, because if you ask me right now, I wouldn't even know what I would say to that.
Mm-hmm. And, it's interesting.
For me,
when
right
Sandra's
now,
being, yes, and I just want to say just some briefly about that. When Sandra's being that, she's not necessarily even conscious she's being that. She's so being that. It's like a fish in water, So Yvonne, I don't know, some pieces of who you be in the world, heart-centered, taking care of other people first, always going the extra mile. Like, these are all part of who you're being on the court. I know that these things and many more of you. So, that can also be taken to remind yourself, for instance, and for all of us, it's my birthright. I am designed to be an influencer. I already am. What can I notice in myself that is already that influencer so that then I can go out and do that in all the places I'm meant to do that? I'm not thinking of it as something out there. It's right here in here with me already. Thank you, Yvonne. And then you said there was a second thing.
Well, then it was about action, like when you were talking about action, about it not being head knowledge, but what am I going to do today? So my question was, what am I going to do today?
Yes. Yes, that's a great, great question. And that's why I asked you earlier, well, what is my vision? That's a 8,000 foot view. Where's the one place, and it already might have shifted from what we just did too, but where's the one place that I'd like to increase my influence on? I need to start somewhere. Now, practical applications gives you an order for things, right? If you're not out there networking and talking to people, I would start there. Don't start with Facebook ads, you know? If you're already doing that, then what is it to bring people into a one-on-one conversation, like a strategy session? If you're not doing that, start there. Like practical applications gives you these two fit hand in glove, gives you an order of what I suggest that you do. It took a long time for me to think about that order for you, right? I could be speaking because that's then one to many gets my message out there, have people, you know, be in a strategy session. So it gives you a potential order for those things, right? With Marie's, for instance, she was saying, well, social media. Okay, well, if that's the area where you want to increase your influence, well, what's one tactical thing that you could do? And you can choose from among this list, but the important, the operative word is to do something. So for instance, Marie, I know Marie's not here now. Hopefully she's listening. Hi, Marie, listen to this on the recording afterwards. And if it's social media, for instance, and again, I don't recommend that we start there. If we're not holding strategy sessions and converting them, don't start there. It's too hard. It's talking to many and we don't even know who they are. And there's no, it's harder to do the connection there. Start, close in. A lesson from practical applications, right? But for Marie, she's already been doing that. She's like been teaching and training and speaking. And she has her book published and she's been, you know, training like a week-long retreat in Bali. Like she's built a lot in her company. We're at different stages. Don't compare your beginning to somebody else's middle or end or whatever, right? But so she's asking about social media. Well, what's one thing she could do? There might be an inner world piece she could do. It's like, well, I'm scared of social media. Well, what am I going to do about that? Why is it that I want to take that risk and remind myself? And then what's the tactical on the ground action? Because if it stays in the inner world only, then it doesn't do anything. I was like, well, where do I think my clients are? I don't know. I think they're on Facebook. Well, let me talk to my 10 top clients and find out where they actually are. Are they on Facebook or are they somewhere else? Which area do I want to even look at first? And then, you know, maybe there's a group on Facebook and I can join them and see what they're talking about and then use all of practical applications, get close in. Here's one person asking a question, get in a real conversation with them. And then maybe they'll come to a strategy session. Like that's a combining story as influence a story with practical applications for real results that create real influence, right? Making sense of how these different pieces fit together and the why behind the pieces that we're doing today. Yeah, thank you. And Marty, I see you like, yes, 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 yes. Thank you. Yvonne, is that helpful? Yeah, thank you. Really, really great comments and questions. All right.
Can I add something there?
Yeah, Marty, go ahead.
You just hit something for me. You know, I was writing my books and then started taking social media training and just haven't been able to make it work for myself and couldn't quite figure out why, because I understand completely the technical side of what I'm being told, but I just keep resisting it. Mm-hmm. And when you just said this about, you know, get in close and where are the people and then expand out, I went, okay, that's why, because if I can't hug the person that is close, how do I hug the person that's far?
Thank you. Thank you, Marnie. And that is worth the whole price of admission for the year when we really hear that and get it inside us and implement. I'm not going to waste a bunch of money on Facebook ads. I'm not going to go chasing after these 10 different platforms. I don't need to learn all the intricate details of it. I just need to get on the phone with one person and see what they have to say and start there. And all the words that will help me be influential. And again, we'll learn this in different pieces of our year, right? All these pieces fit together when I'm in that conversation with them. And let's say I mistake in my earlier version when I was talking about Wendy and Dottie, let's say I mistake Wendy for Dottie and vice versa. So I'm talking to Wendy about, you know, after 75 is the most important time in our life. And I learned that from BKS Iyengar. I'm not kidding at all, but that might not be the most relevant piece of what I'm talking about for Wendy in this moment, right? So I'm not seeing the person in front of me. I'm not speaking directly to them. But if I'm actually in a conversation and asking questions, Wendy's going to share with me what her pain is, what the possibility is. And I'm going to be speaking her language because I'm actually listening. Remember, influence is listening to others. We talked about that, other stories. We talked about, I seeded that at the beginning of this retreat, but now we understand that better because I'm just not listening to, and vice versa. If I start saying to Dottie, and all my analogies are about little kids, and it's not that Dottie can't relate to that, but it's just like not where she's living her real life right here and now. And it's like I'm not seeing her and I'm not listening to her. What matters to her? And who was I listening to the other day? Shoot, I forgot where this came from, so I'm sorry, I can't tell you the source. But it was a story about a woman went with her son to buy a car. And I think this was Laura Gisborne being interviewed the other day. She went with her son and her husband to buy a car. They decided on the car for their son and they all three agreed on it. But none of the three had the same reasons. They agreed on the car, but they all saw it differently. Think about my example about Wendy and Dottie, you know? And they might have very different reasons for landing on the same car. Am I listening to other people's stories? All of this dovetails again with practical applications. Am I actually seeing and hearing that person? And then if I think of the tactical language is segmenting my audience, you know, but this person, that, you know, the different kinds of people that I'm talking to or the different real people in front of me. And then I start close in, like what Marnie pointed us to. Practical applications and influence a story are designed to fit together. Influence a story is the deeper, broader. We understand the basis of it, and then we understand the tactics of practical applications, right? Really good. Got that? It makes sense? How all this fits together to massive. And again, remember the our promise for today. My desire for you is that each and every person will leave having increased their level of influence. Do you get how we've already got that? It's not that in the future we will, right? Both as perceived by themselves and others. If we just implemented even any one piece of this, if I don't say to Wendy, listen, 75 is, or to Dottie about children, I've already increased my influence, both inside myself and how it's perceived. I decide I can gather horse people together, like Mary Kay, and she's stepping into her bigger self and how I'm perceived and how I perceive myself, right? Each and every person will leave having increased their level of influence, each and every person will leave having increased their level of influence, both as perceived by themselves and others, and understand how to use story to create influence. Well, we got there in the very first block. Here's the stories that are blocking me. Here's the new ones. Here's how I can engage in stories, the ones that I tell to people and with people and for people, and how I can help them create belief change, for instance, with the stories that I tell. So we're doing this at multiple, we're creating that at multiple levels in this retreat, all right? So what I wanna do from here, jot down your couple big ahas right now. Take some time just to empty out a little bit, like here's a couple things I heard. Could be a bufo, blinding flash of the obvious. Okay, finishing up that last sentence, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. Just two small training pieces remain, and then questions and inspired actions. That's as we were rounding up, heading toward, we still have 25 minutes together, but these are the last pieces that I want to do with you. So One, you're writing down your company values. I'm in the midst of doing this for my own company, and I'm understanding it at a deeper level. Because it's like, this is what we stand for. This is what matters. If I write them down, I embody them more. So I just wanted to say, just wanted to drop that in, not as a deep dive training, but just that's a great thing to do. It's worth the time to do it. I'm doing that with team members in my company tomorrow. One more piece is about transferring excellence. I just want to remind you, and I'm going to leave this for you as an exercise. I suggest you do this with each other. Get on a connection call. Connect with each other on the Facebook page. Actually do this. Where are you influential? Where have you been influential? And then notice that the way that I'm looking at Sandra and giving you examples, I want you to look at it for yourself and go, what did I do there? Like what I did with like, why did Dana? That's where real came from. I actually just sat there and thought about it. Why did Dana get up? I know she does that. Why does she do it? Bringing it to consciousness. Each one of you, does that make sense? You have been profoundly and are influential. A kid has gone to bed because of you. A friend has stopped crying because of you. Somebody's engaged in your work because of you. They've read your book, or they've listened to some of the words you've said, or they've helped, they've come because you've asked them to help you. Like it, multiple levels of influence, just to name a few. Pick one and do that inner work of seeing, well, what was it that I was doing that was working for me? Because those are the pieces of influence that are already inside you. Then you can transfer that excellence. So let me give you this is the example that's popping to mind. So I'm going to go with it. Yvonne, bless you. My friend didn't leave my side when my man died. Yvonne was highly influential at that moment. We needed to do some very tactical things. We needed to get to the bank because my visa had been stolen. We needed to buy a car so I could get to the retreat. We needed to load up props into the car so I could drive to the retreat center. We needed to do so many tactical things. It's crazy in the 2 days after he died, not to mention move through the grief. And Yvonne, I know you know, and for all of you, you can hear this because you've all had times like this, right? You were highly influential in that situation. Because how you got me to do that stuff is, I really have to think about it. It's kind of a mystery to me. How could you know? Like, I'm just grieving. And we did all that stuff somehow, right? And she's like playfully going, like, crack the whip. But she knows, and I know, that that's not her. That's not what she did. And somehow she got me to do those things gently and easily and with deep heart-centered love. And on time, too. So Yvonne investigating that one instance would be a wonderful example of like, what's my way for having influence? I have it. There's one of many, many examples. Find an example like that in your life. It doesn't have to be in your business. And I'm giving some examples of what I know Yvonne did. She wasn't cracking the whip. One of the things she did is she listened to me. In order to get out, to get to the bank, I had to think of, and this was in June, I had to think about what I was going to be doing in October because it's the way my mind works. Yvonne, you remember that? Here's the week that I'm going to spend, the third week in October. We did that before we got to the bank that closed. And if she hadn't been the person who would do that with me, I probably wouldn't have got to the bank. Deep listening, just how my brain functions. I needed something to look forward to beyond the edges of. What is it for you? Transferring excellence. So I should strongly suggest that to you as some homework, home play. Get on a connection call with somebody from our community, somebody here. They're like, look, how have I influenced people and how do I want to transfer that over to what it is that I'm aimed at in my company? And that thing that I said I want to increase my influence for. Good? All right. Those are the last training pieces I wanted to do. The rest of the call, questions, inspired actions, so we can deepen what we've, eliminate any confusion, deepen the training. We could go deeper dive on this. We could spend a whole week on this easily. And also, I'm super proud of what you have managed to do in 6 hours. Look how far, less than six. We're not even at our 6 hour mark yet. 6 hours? Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Look how far we've come in understanding what it is, what the characteristics are, the tactics on the ground, how to do it, where my most important place is, what my vision is, all in 6 hours. Well done. So. Questions. And actually, before either questions or ahas, because sometimes you just feel really full. It's like, that's really cool. I really like that. And you might not be in the energy of questions. You're in the energy of answers. And like Abraham says, like, you know, I love those teachings. The vibration of the question is not the same as the vibration of the solution. You might not be feeling questions right now. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. You might be going, I could do that. And I could do that. And I could do that. If you're in that place, you don't need to manufacture a question. That's fine. I just want to open a space for it. And if instead you're in the place of ahas or possibility, or just wanting to share something that you want to do, or a new aha you had, that's fine too. If we didn't, if this isn't question producing, that's fine. That means that we got to a different level of vibration, a different level of energy, a different level of possibility for all of us together. And I'm not blocking questions either. All is welcome here. Dottie, thank you.
I wanted to ask a question. A person that I admire very much and would like to be like is Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. I had the privilege of meeting her personally as one of 50 people. And the most amazing thing about it was, as we drove up to this aid center where my brother's married to one of, my brother's married to the sister of one of her nuns, which is why I got to go. We knocked on the door of this big, it was an aid center in Washington. And guess who answered the door?
Oh, Mother Teresa herself?
Herself.
Mm-hmm.
Herself. And my father had died 2 weeks before, and she spent a half an hour with our family, just us.
Mm.
So is that out of, I'm so moved by that. And is that an out of date story?
No, not on, are you guys feeling like, well, that story doesn't matter? It's not what you're feeling, right? Dottie, well, this is beautiful. And this is beautiful because, like, how do I say this? I mentioned structures out there in the world because it's important for us to know what people are thinking about. It doesn't mean that we don't bring something that matters to us into the discussion, because it matters to us. I just mentioned my man's death, which happened 4.5 years ago. Did it feel irrelevant to you? No. I don't think so. Not if I told the story well, right? So this touched you. And also I want to connect it for you, Dottie, and let's, so that we can all hear this too. This is connected with the neighbor next door. There's an energy about influence that really you respond to, and you like the certain characteristics of influence that really, really matter to you, and things that move us or things that press our buttons, they're really good indicators. Your neighbor and Mother Teresa, can you feel, and I'm seeing a lot of nods in the room, like there's something very energetically similar that really matters to you, and that then you can bring out in the way that you enact and be the influencer that you are. And right. I can hear a number of the characteristics. It's like, not this person is better than that person, but a listening to all. Actually taking, I can hear a number of these things, actually taking the time with people and not rushing to the next one, going above and beyond and doing the unexpected for people, la-di-da, so those words are coming to me about our own stuff, like the neighbor next door, but just like being real and genuine with people, and not needing not to, to insist about qualifications, because so owning it, like your neighbor. What else? Not asking that people do things that we ourselves aren't willing to do. These are all characteristics of influencers, but I'm pulling them out because, and again, you can see the connection between influence and story. These are your stories that matter to you, and they tell you the kind, the form, the pieces of influence that are yours to own, right? And I'm not saying that, okay, I'm only going to own these, but I'm going to not have any integrity because I don't care about that. You know, I mean, like, it's not that anyone here would do that, but you get it? They all matter. But which are the ones that are particularly resonant for me? And then those values, those have to do with company values. Remember I said like writing down our company values? Those are probably going to be somewhere in Dottie's company values. And then it's going to be something about how, what her clients experience when they come to her. And if she's crossing those, she's not going to create a company. Dottie, you won't end up creating a company you like. If it's a company, well, I'm only going to listen to you, but I'm not going to listen to these people, or I'm going to make sure that I don't have the time to listen to, you know, so it tells us a lot about what to build.
I got it confused with the Lady Diana's.
Right. Not yeah. And yeah. So let me clarify that about
happened
that.
Happened a long time ago. And this happened right. a long time ago also.
Nothing wrong with bringing up stories from a long time ago. But the difference is that if I say on June 1st, I want just the simple sentence, I want to tell you about that sentence, all lives matter. All ears will perk up, you know, and I say, I think that's wrong. You know, like everybody's already going to be listening. There's already a context and I've got people's attention already, which is different from if I just say, I want to tell you in, let's say like this year right here, right now, I want to tell you about Princess Diana. They're all going like, you know, so I just need to know that about my audience, but it doesn't mean I can't say something relevant. If I just said to you, I'm going to tell you about something that happened in June, 2016, you don't care, but you cared about the story because of how I told the story, and story mastery teaches us about that. Stories that sell now, again, different pieces through the year all fit together hand in glove about how we tell the story so that it is relevant to our audience. But I can't, it's important for me to know the context. How I tell the story is gonna vary depending on who's there and how I'm telling it.
Thank you. I have another question, but I'll wait for other people.
Thank you, Dottie. Thank you.
I was just going to add to that as well. Mother Teresa is an archetype. So there's that concept that she is above and beyond the person that she actually was as an individual. And so when you reference her, we all have that image of that person, even if we're not historically accurate about her as an individual. And Diana, for example, could be used as the archetype of the princess who marries and finds out it's not happily ever after. Then it would be relevant today, but referring to her as an individual and what she went through, maybe not so important. Does that?
I love that. Yes. Yeah, so we can draw on different pieces of, you know, this is archetypes to me. Again, it's the story. It's story, right? And so I can draw on different things that I know about them to make it relevant to my audience for the purpose. And it's always got to be connected to that purpose. If it's just random, no one's going to care. But I could say something like, even if I preface it with something simple, like as entrepreneurs, it matters that we give. Doesn't it? Does it make sense to you guys? Who thinks that's important? And still, it's at that surface level, okay? People aren't really engaged yet. But we've got agreement, at least, like those enrolling questions at the beginning of a talk. As entrepreneurs, we have to understand about giving. I thought I knew what giving was until one day, I knocked on the door and it was Mother Teresa who opened it. Do you hear? Like now there's a context, there's a reason, like, oh, we want to know what happened. And we know that it's relevant to me today as an entrepreneur because I've already agreed that giving matters. That's one of a million things that I could say, but it depends on where I'm aiming at. So thank you for that, Marnie. I love that. And so it could be through archetypes. It could be through and if you go, but I don't know about archetypes, that's okay too. Like if it's that, what I hear in what you're saying, Marnie, that's so beautiful is she represents something to us about some kind of human quality. And if I want to emphasize that human quality for some reason to some end in my talk, you know, and again, everything that we do in other pieces of this year kick in here. Helpful, Marnie, I love that. Beautiful. And thank you, Dottie. Great.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Other questions? Other ahas.
I have a question, not a question, I don't know, observations. Sometimes you think you are influencing in a certain direction and then you realize that people are interpreting it differently. So there's something out of alignment that's going on. Do you have any suggestions of sort of tactically or in principle how to address that?
Yeah, I love this question. Thank you. It's beautiful. So let's take a whole day on this one. We could easily do so, right? So the biggest place that I would go to, again, I could train on a whole day on this easily. But the first place I would go to is that thing that I said in the first block is influence is about listening to other people's stories. So if I think my influence is going in a certain direction, but then there's something out of alignment and they interpret it differently, first, that's part of human nature and that happens. They're going to hear things the way they hear things, all right? So that's to allow that to be and not to need to control it completely, how they're going to pick it up, because they're going to pick it up how they pick it up. So to not be too attached. But sometimes I get it too. Sometimes it feels like radically in the opposite direction. That is deep level knowing of my audience. Can I actually stand in their shoes? That's the, let's say it's my potential ideal client. Can I know them the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter? So I understand their likes and dislikes. I understand them. I aim to understand them. We understand Harry Potter better than he understands himself at times. How does that happen? So can I actually do that and not simply project what I would like them to be thinking or what I think they should be thinking or my own judgment about what they're thinking and believing, or, but I actually step over there. And when I do that, it's going to shift my message. It's going to shift how I speak to them. It's going to shift a lot of things, right? So let me give you a kind of silly example, but I think this is the one that's coming to mind. And I know you'll hear this because we already have the context of Wendy and small children and Dottie, what are we doing in the, you know, after 75, right? So let's say I've forgotten characteristics, like this is a basic characteristic of Wendy. She has a small child. So I really haven't listened at all. So I've forgotten even just even the basics of her life and how she's moving it in the world, right? And then I mistake her for Dottie. So I'm not seeing who she is. And I go, and I'm so in on the message about 75, because maybe I want them to act in the world and take an action, any action, because I'm teaching that courage comes from the act, okay? But I mistake her for Dottie in the moment. And so I'm talking endlessly about 75, right? And after 75, well, that might hit exactly the mark for Dottie. And Dottie's going to go out there and do stuff, you know, perhaps, if I've been effective in something heart-centered that I'm trying to say. But if I hammer away that with Wendy, then all of a sudden I'm surprised because she just decides to join a monastery for the next 40 years, even though I'm trying to help her grow her business, you know, right? I'm like, why did that happen? That wasn't the message at all, but I'm not listening to her and I'm not seeing her. And so my message has unintended effects because I haven't listened deeply to her and where she is and what matters to her. So my message hasn't been constructed in her language for her. And so then it can get taken up in wacky ways. Because of course, you know, that doesn't happen for her for decades. So why wouldn't she, whatever it is, go join a monastery, join a circus, whatever, I don't know, right? So I need a different language for her. And let's say all my analogies for Dottie, and you got it, you know, are about small children and so on and so forth. Dottie might go, oh man, I made a mistake when my kids were small. Maybe I'm supposed to repent about her, something ridiculous that has nothing to do with my message. So I need to know, this goes to the, you know, my ideal client, the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter, I need to know that person. And there's that inner work, because if I don't know myself, if there's parts of myself that are hiding from me, how am I going to know that other person? So it requires a radical honesty. That's satya in the yoga tradition. Radical honesty with myself about where I'm not facing myself. Again, entrepreneurship as personal development. Best personal development on the planet, and a great empathy for that person. And then remember the, you know, they all bought the car, but for all different reasons, even though it's the same car. Then I will be able to tailor my message and I care more about the vision than how I'm going to say it. I'm not attached to it. I'm not, there's no ego in that. I'm going to use their language because I really care about the outcome for them, because I'm out to transform the face of the planet, because I'm a visionary messenger. Marnie, is that helpful? Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, we're at 4 minutes to, and Dottie said she had another question. So I want to wrap up, and then I'll return. I'll stay over for another 15 minutes or so if anybody has more questions, just so that we have a place for any questions that arise, because these are great, great questions. But I want to wrap up with one aha and one inspired action. And when I say inspired action, I want you to think about, what's my inspired action? Your inspired action, well, maybe it might be to go meditate, I don't know, but I really want you to think about, what's my inspired action about this that we're learning? If I truly am an influencer, influencers take risks, influencers are courageous, influencers have a vision, influencers use specific words and ideas, influencers change beliefs. What am I going to do, actually do on the court toward that real vision? And something that I could check off and say, yes, I actually did it in the world, so that this doesn't become head knowledge, but I actually step into that massive influence for 2021 that just starts with the next best step toward that thing. Make sense? Wanaha. One inspired action. And to give an example, and she might have something different, but Mary Kay might go, oh, I could gather the, influencers in the horse world. It might be, I'm really afraid to do that, but there's one that I know the best. I'm going to give her a call this week. Can you see that that's tactical and simple and check offable, but headed deeply toward that vision that she put her stake in the ground for earlier? It could be that or something else for her, but can you see how powerful that inspired action is? All right. So Marnie, you are up in my left-hand corner. And if you need to leave right on the hour, no worries. And please go post in the Facebook page, what's your aha, what's your inspired action? And you can continue this conversation and your actions. The Facebook page will be as helpful to you as you make it to be. And if it's about influence, what if you show up there as an influencer? What would that mean? What a great place to play, right? We haven't been that active at all in the Facebook page recently. But what if you practice your influencing skills and being that influencer that you are and listening to other stories and all those things we talked about in the Facebook page? How would that play then? How you do anything is how you do everything. Ripple out into your world. You have an opportunity should you choose to use it, right? So if you need to go and post on the Facebook page and keep posting. Keep this learning and the implementation of it going in the Facebook page. That's like our water cooler. That's like our coffee pot. That's where we get to gather, right? And if you want me in there, tag me, text me, right? That's on offer always. And it doesn't happen that often that people do that, but it's on offer. And then I will go in there, all right? I will see it. So Marnie, you're up in my left-hand corner. You're up first. One aha, one inspired action to bring us home.
My aha was really around the start close and work outward. Although I've been hearing that over and over in the practical applications. Yvonne's comment about that she already is an influencer, and I know that for myself as well, that concept of start with that knowledge and what I've done successfully and replicate that. I found that really powerful. And my inspired action is to actually go and post the vision and things that you asked us to on Facebook.
Thank you. Let's use that resource. It's there for you. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
And then I'm putting a stake in the sand and saying by February 1, I'm going to have at least one strategy session set up.
Thank you. Yes. And on time for our sales as a story, because on the ground when you're doing it, and even if, no matter how you do it, you could buy someone pizza to do that for a strategy session. Anyhow, getting on the court, and then it's up levels us to actually being on the court, having different questions to ask, fantastic. And putting your stake in the ground, giving it a date. Marnie, fantastic. Love it. Yes, yes, yes. Dottie, one aha, one inspired action.
I think I said it, but it means so much to me, is know who your audience is.
Yes. Thank you. We got to a deeper level of that today, didn't we?
Yeah. I thought of some really, I spoke at a woman's prison, for example, and one time, and I have a great story that I think people would like that I could tell.
Dottie, fantastic. And you just like, it's like you just lost 10 years, you know, and like you just lit up, you know, and alive and awake. When we are on purpose, when we remember who we are, it just like brings life force energy into us. It's so beautiful. Thank you.
It does.
And you're inspired to action.
I'm going to write, I'm studying to be a speaker, and I'm going to write this as my first speech on being vulnerable. It has to do with speaking at the prison.
Oh my goodness. Like, don't you want to hear that, you guys? Like, I was not even training on speaking, but this dovetails right with the talk on, for, you know, about the, with the training on speaking and practical applications. All this is meant to fit together. This is beautiful. Thank you, Dottie. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yvonne.
I never really made the correlation between influencers and influencers being risk takers. Mm-hmm. And now when I really think about it, knowing that I'm an influencer and knowing how many risks I've taken in my life, I'm like, oh, right.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. I am an influencer, but I'm not going to, I mean, the opposite, I'm not going to risk ever going out of my house or talking to anybody because I want to stay safe here. I mean, once we name it, we know it to be true. Of course, influencers are risk takers. Yes, thank you. And what's your inspired action, Yvonne?
I am actually going to make take a first stab at my company values.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. I'm doing it tomorrow. No, next day, the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's crucial. It's so important.
I'm not showing up tomorrow. I'll be there on Thursday.
Not tomorrow. Thank you, Yvonne. Love it. Yes, because this is what I stand for. This is who I am. This is how who I be. And it emanates into my company, into the world. Yes. Mary Kay.
Well, I have to stick with the first aha effect that some people will accept my help. Some people probably are looking for it. And my inspired action is to keep the doctor appointments for self-care so that I can move forward. And then another one, I want to add another one too. To look into Houston Dressage Society, I think is looking for some virtual speakers. And I'm going to look into that.
I love this. Can you hear the steps people are taking? Can you hear how powerful they are? Can you hear the inspiration? You guys are amazing. And you've so taken this in. Then we show up on the planet the way that we're meant to. That's so much more fun. That's so much more aligned. It's so much more in service. We get to play with the other influencers who are on that cutting edge in the world. Like, who wouldn't want to play there? Thank you. Love it. Yes. Wendy, are you in a place where you can speak?
Sure.
One aha, one inspired action.
My aha is that I can find passion in negative emotion.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Yeah. One of the works I study for my PhD dissertation, I mean, this woman who says it's so impacted and influenced the world. And it started from just bitterness and anger, to be honest. It's like, this is wrong. This needs to change. And out of that, she transformed a community, many communities and the world. Thank you for that. Yes, beautiful. And what's your inspired action, Wendy?
My inspired action, I attended a yoga workshop last night and we were invited to create like a miniature vision board with only one item on it to then accomplish that task and then change it out. So I'm going to do that.
Wendy, I love it. Talk about choosing the thing that really, really, really matters and doing that. And that sounds absolutely like that's what influencers do. This thing matters. I'm going after that. I'm doing that. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to put myself out there for that thing. That's the thing that matters. I put my stake in the ground. I stand for it. It's who I am. It's how I be. And it's the action I take in the world. Thank you so much, everyone. I love and adore each and every one of you. You are amazing. You uplift me so much. Thank you for giving your all today. This has been a fabulous, fabulous day. This forms the official close of our day today. So if it's time for you to go, thank you so much. Thank you, Dottie. Thank you so much for being here. And if, thank you, Yvonne. And if you choose, feel free to, there's nothing more that I'm going to say other than answering questions. So feel free to leave if it's your time to leave. And if you want to stay, I will stay and answer questions up until 4:15 for anyone who is still here asking questions. And if it's just me alone, once it's just me, then we'll officially end. It'll either just be me or it'll be 4:15. So thank you again so very much. And look forward to seeing you at Practical Applications. You're going to hear everything differently with this behind you, right? So much deeper, so much more when we can do this deep dive. Thank you so much. Everyone's still here. Love that. All right. So now we open into the post-event question period. And I just wanted to stay to answer any other questions that are coming up. And that, wow, that's super cool. All right. So questions and ahas as well. Open to questions, ahas. Yeah, Mary Kay.
So what... how do I make the 15-minute talk longer?
Oh, I love that question. It's tactical. It's it's on the floor. It's out there in the world. It's and my easiest answer to that is with examples and stories. That's my very first and simple answer. Here's the things that I'm teaching. I've got a 15-minute talk. And if it's a really short talk, let me just tell you, expand on this too. If it's a 5-minute talk, for instance, I'm just going to make one point. I mean, I'm not going to try to make anything more than one point, you know? If I've got 15 minutes, I might be making up to 3 points. Maybe I might choose one or two. Maximum, I'm going to make 3 points. If I am making those three, if I've only made 2 points or 1 point in my 15-minute talk, I can add other teaching points. If I have made 3 points and I'm taking it from 15 minutes to 30 minutes, for instance, I'm going to make more examples. I'm going to add more examples. I'm going to tell more stories. I'm going to have the time and space to have them embody the teaching more. So if you look at my 4-minute talk that I have over there in Practical Applications versus a half hour talk or an hour long talk that I've given on the same topic, I'm just going to cut to the chase and tell them something in those 4 minutes. In the half hour talk, they're going to actually get to feel it, embody it, understand its resonance more. And you can think of that from what we've done here. If I just had 5 minutes, for instance, to teach people about influence, which piece would I pick? I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that. I haven't done that before. But I might pick, let's say I would pick the point that you already know. I might actually do this. You already know more about influence than you think. I think that's a standout training point. All right. And I might take people over to one example of a time they were influential. And then I'll say, look, that one piece, that one character that you had, trait that you had, you can go and take that into what's something else you want. Okay, boom, there. So I'm taking a corner of it, trying to still make it experiential. And then the way that it expanded is there's more training points here. And we got a deeper dive. So we're feeling it more than I would be able to convey, for instance, in 5 minutes. Does that help, Mary Kay?
Yes.
Did I cloud it up after I added more?
well, like if it's virtual, could I do some kind of, interactive exercise?
For sure. And it depends, it's going from 15 minutes to how long, how long do you want to make the talk?
I'm not sure. I'm just going to say 45.
Yeah. Okay. And there's different reasons to make things different lengths. Sometimes it's just what we're given. Somebody says, hey, do a 45-minute talk. So then we create a 45-minute talk, right? And We do have different potential calls to action too, with different lengths of talks. So I would say that, and from what my own teachers have taught me, if you're going to go directly to a sale, you're going to sell something from that talk, it needs to be at least 45 minutes or longer. I don't even advocate that. Why would you sell something when instead you could give away something for free and or have especially do that so that you're then in relationship with them, right? So I would say even in a longer talk, I prefer, you know, lead generation. I prefer gathering names, getting them on my list so we can start a relationship, right? But for some people, what they would do is if it's a 15 minutes, they would give something. If it's an hour and a half, they might make it go direct to sale. It's not that I never do that. I do that much, much less often than I'll do other things, right? So sometimes the call to action changes. But I'm going to encourage for everyone here, don't sell right from stage. Not until you've really mastered, I'm offering my free gift and people are taking it. Do that first. And then once they've got the free gift, then you can invite them to a strategy session because you're already in a relationship. So I would not, I'm just giving you the wisdom that's out there. Some would have a different call to action, but I would go with the free gift. So if it's 45 minutes, so what was the follow-up question, Mary Kay? Because I'm not sure I addressed it.
I just said, you know, could you include something that was like some kind of interactive exercise?
Right, right. Yes, you could. And I would always think about to what end. Interactive exercises will decrease tension and get people like kind of bubbly and engaged, okay?
Yeah.
And so if, and a call to action, there's tension inside somebody that makes them act, okay? So if, for instance, I tell people in my talk, listen, stories are everywhere. There's a whole bunch of them stopping you. I don't know which one is. Come talk to me. Can you see that I'm building tension, productive tension for them? There's something that it's like, oh, shoot, you know, there's a story inside me that's blocking me. I better get off my seat and go talk to Michelle. If I put that interactive exercise right at the end, I'm going to destroy the tension and they won't step forward. So if I have an interactive exercise, I don't want it to be at the end. I want it probably to be somewhere in the middle and not at the end. I probably don't want it right at the beginning either, unless it depends on the audience. If I already, there's a lot of know, like, and trust, I could start here with an interactive exercise. But if it's somebody that, if it's a group that don't, they don't know me, I'm like, why am I doing this with it? And they're going to pull back. So there's more of know, like, and trust established once you're partway in. And you've given them a greater reason for doing this. And always you're going to be asking yourself, like, begin with the end in mind with a talk. Like, what's the call to action? What's the single domino? All the things we learn in practical applications. What's the belief that I want to help them overturn? And then why am I doing that interactive exercise? To what end? How is it serving that larger purpose of where I want to take them by the end?
Okay. That's helpful.
Good. Great. And I said like 4:14, but I didn't expect you would all still be here. So if you still have questions, thank you for that great question, Mary Kay. But you guys have been asking, I'm not punching a clock here. So if there's more questions, I'm happy to answer them. Dottie, go ahead. And again, if you need to leave anytime, you don't need to say goodbye or just go ahead and go. It's okay. I know we're already on to overtime here. Thank you so much for being here. So Dottie.
I've had a very unusual last couple months since COVID has come out. And it probably is because I am 75. And me realizing I could die, you know, easily. I've known several people who have died.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I know there's been a lot of internal changes in me. So here's my question. I recently signed up for a speaker's course, and it's a class of about 120 people. And Lisa Nichols is the teacher. She's very well known. And I have never had this happen. My question is, I don't know how I gained such influence in this group. In the chat, there were seven people who said to me, you are such an inspiration. You are such an inspiration. There was a question that was put out and Lisa says, Dottie, what do you think about this? I mean, it was just unbelievable.
And I want to stop you there for a second, because here's the thing. You've been on the court. You've been working all the pieces that we've been doing here. This has not happened by accident. You have taken up every single piece that we've been doing. Every piece of it matters. And this is our day about influence. But all of the things that we do all year long, also now when looked at through the lens of influence, they are all increasing influence. Networking, for instance, in practical applications. Oh, I'm going to start listening to people. And think of what Karen was talking about practical applications. You know, even with an experienced entrepreneur, it's like, oh, I just listened and all these sales happened. And you've been doing that. You've been on the court. You've been taking it in. You've been, you know, the piece about from last summer, you've been, you know, who your ideal listener is and not looking for that in them. So then there's no raga, no attachment about that. Like, you have been on the court, my friend, doing the work. I'm not surprised by this at all. And both congratulations. And also, I almost don't even want to congratulate you too much, because I just want to say, this is your new normal. This is who you are. This is your birthright. This is who you are and are meant to be. And so that's just normal. It's not normal to think that the opposite is normal. This is what's normal.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Been a great class.
I've really loved your work, Michelle. It's really brilliant. And I'm very well trained.
Dottie, well, thank you so much. And like I say, we're all in this together. This is a community effort as we build new knowledge, new wisdom, new ways of being as entrepreneurs, as people on the planet, as people in service. And so, and also, you know, we get in anything here and everywhere else, we get what we put into it. You know, you've been on the court, taking in all the teachings, really engaging and asking the questions and you know, wrestling with the work and what it means for you. And so it's the fruit of your own labor that we're seeing. And I'm super proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, Marnie.
I just had a real quick question, I think. I just wanted to confirm, so that you said you had talked about the structure and the order of things to approach. And so in the practical applications, what you were saying is it's network first, then strategy session, then speaking from the stage, right?
Yeah, I have a nice subtle listening, Marnie. I know you're on the court working it too, because I actually teach it in the opposite order, you might have noticed. So they're reversed in one way. So I go networking, and then I teach about speaking, and then I teach about strategy sessions. But what you said, and I don't bother teaching this at practical applications because it's too much detail and people won't hear it, but you're going to be able to hear it here, all right? Because we have more time for this. Networking, clearly that's where I can be close in with people, and I got to meet people or I can't do anything else, right? And there I'm going one-to-one instead of one-to-many, which is what speaking is. So I'm going to start closer in with a real life human being, because it's a higher level skill to be able to talk to, say, Dottie and Wendy at the same time. If I'm just talking to Dottie and I'm staying with 75, or I'm just talking to Wendy and staying with mothering, I can learn and hone my skill there. So actually, I teach speaking because strategically I can get to sales. I can teach it better in that order. And I'm not so worried about speaking or sales or speaking, but I think of it in that order exactly the way you said it. So well done. Networking first. I go meet somebody and then I have a strategy session with them. And sometimes they're not ready, but I have a connection call with them and then strategy session. And if I'm not sure what the difference is, then just, you know, ask me questions about that. So all close in, close in, close in, right? And then as I'm honing that skill, it's the strategy sessions themselves too that will help me build the content for my speaking. Once I've listened to nobody, I don't even know really what they want, and I try to do a Facebook ad and I'm lost. I listen to one person, and let's say I listen to Dottie and she says, oh, you know, I really want to do something in the world. I mean, and I'm listening to her and I gain some insight. And then I listen to Wendy and she has a different take on it, right? So I'm listening to people's pain and possibility over and over again. And when I've done 1, 10, 100, 1,000 strategy sessions, I get from being on the court a better and better sense of how they speak, what matters to them, what keeps them up at night. And that's why I can go back and feed that back into networking. And they go, how do you know me so well, Michelle? Because I've listened to other people who are not you, but are like you. And then that feeds into what I do for my speaking, because I've been on the court listening so well close in with people. So thank you for noticing that. That tells me you're listening very acutely, because you're even seeing something different from the order that I teach it, but exactly the way I think about it. Well done.
Thank you. And Dottie, you are a light bearer. That's why you have that influence.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yes, beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Other questions, other ahas?
I have thank to go you, Marnie. Too.
Yes, thank yeah. you. Anything, Mary, thank you so much for being here. Mary Kay, any last questions before we go? All right. Thank you so much for being here. Have a fantastic day, everybody. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thank you.